As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. If I say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God.
Thanks, Mary. Now please keep your Bibles open there as we go through it now. Have you ever felt homesick? Really, really homesick. I remember one thing vividly from my childhood. I must have been about 5 or 6 years old, and I was staying with my grandparents, and they had a farm, and so I had lots to do. And after a week of sleeping over there, I called my parents and said, can I stay a couple more nights? But on day 9, I think it was, it suddenly hit me. Like, I want to go home. I really need to go home. This a terrible longing. And so, yeah, crying, of course, as a young boy. And my parents had to pick me up, couldn't really stay another night. Maybe you know the feeling when you've moved to a new town. You just really want to go home to the town where you grew up or where you previously lived. I'm told this is particularly strong among the Welsh. And they have even got a special word for it that you can't translate. And I hope I pronounce it well. It's called hiraeth. Yeah, pretty good. This, it's a deep longing. It's a yearning to go home. Home, and that strong sense of wanting to go there, back home. Now, this feeling, this homesickness, it can be so strong that it really affects your body. Right? It sort of overshadows everything else you do. And that you can't really see the nice things that are going on in your life anymore. But just your mind just keeps going back to that same place, and that longing, oh, I want to go home, I need to go home. Well, a similarly strong sense of longing that affects the whole body, and it sort of overshadows everything that goes on. It's what we see here in Psalm 42. But that is not a longing for home, but it's a longing for God. A longing for God. And the psalmist cries out, as it were, where are you, God? Where are you? I want you, I need you. The title says above the psalm that it is of the songs of Korah. This was a group of Levites. And they were especially focusing on the worship of God in the temple, leading the people in singing. And it says it is a maskil. And actually, we don't know very well what that word means. It is probably something to do with a type of song, a musical term. But maskil is just really the Hebrew word that is found there. And it's for the director of music, so clearly meant to be sung by the people of God. Now, I want to first look at, when we are thinking about this longing for God, this cry, where are you, God? First, about the causes. Why does this psalmist feel so strongly? Why can we feel so strongly? So firstly, the causes. And first, 1 and 2, they tell us right away how he is feeling. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? It's really a cry from the depths of his heart. You can imagine the picture, I guess. A deer, and it's wandering, and the ground is dry, and it's going there, and it's starting to pant and to gasp for air out of thirst, tongue is dry and the body starts to ache after a long time without any water. And just, it really needs water now. Any stream, a puddle perhaps, a little brook. Any water to quench its thirst, because otherwise it will die. It is such a strong feeling. It can't go without water. Now, I think for a physical thirst, we probably don't know that very well. Here in the UK, we have had a lovely British summer lately with lots of water, and there is generally not really any strong thirst. But still, we can sometimes say, oh, I'm just dying for a cup of tea, and expressing the deep desire to have a drink, that longing for it. That's the urge. And this is then the strength and the urgency of the writer's longing for God. I need God, he says. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. It's like that deer who is really needing water to stay alive. The psalmist says, I need God. I can't go without him. He's panting like a deer, as it were, in need of water. He's so important, is God. So much that he's really seeking God. So, God, where are you then, is the cry. And he knows that he just can't just go anywhere else. Verse 2, it says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. There is no alternative. There's only one God who can truly quench that thirst, who can satisfy that longing. Now, do you know this cry? We just sang it with that song. As the deer pants, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my strength and shield. You are my heart's desire. And I think so often we might not have that strong feeling. And that song is then, think of it as a prayer, that God will give you an increased longing. But do you know it? That you really have this strong desire to meet with God, to meet with him personally, that you really experience it, not just some distant knowledge, but that it is your experience. Is he so important for me and for you that we, as it were, pond like a deer in need of water, that we feel the ache and the distress because God seems so far away? Well, this psalm then gives us several reasons, several causes for this longing. And I think they are very familiar to us. Let's go through them. It's sort of like what we go through. And the first one is mockery and oppression from the people around us. We see that in verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? And it comes back really in verse 10. And it shows that physical aspect to it. My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? It's just heart-wrenching, isn't it? It's unceasing. It just keeps going on all day long, day and night. It doesn't stop. And it affects the whole body. It's tears for food, he says. Like, so common. It's just going on and on and on. Pain in your bones that is wearing you down. Always there. Maybe you know it with suffering or illness. And you're going through a difficult time. And then a friend or a family member or someone close to you says, like, what, where is your God? Like, doesn't seem to make any difference. You trust him, don't you? And you feel that as an extra pain to it. And you might even wonder, standing then alone, you don't know what to say. And that pain or that grief is real. And you think, might they be right? Where is God? Why don't you act, God? Then a second cause is found in verse 4. And that's past experiences of God's blessing and his presence. And it seems so far away now. Verse 4, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. And this is in the context of Old Testament Israel, where they had these yearly feasts, and where many people from all over the country would all travel to Jerusalem. And there were great multitudes on the road, and they were all seeking to worship God together then in the temple. And the psalmist, he remembers those days. And he had apparently a very important role in it, leading them in that procession, leading them in song and in praise. all the people together glorifying God. What a joyful occasion that was. But now he's far away. Look at it in verse 6. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Those places, they are in the far north of the country, far away from Jerusalem, far away from the temple. We're not told why he is there, but apparently for some reason he could not get to Jerusalem. He could not be with God, with the people of God, worshipping him there. And now this is familiar, I guess. There just seems to be so many ups and downs in our Christian life. Times when the worship of God has brought you great joy, when God felt so close, but then also times where God seemed to be so distant. And this can be due to missing the corporate worship, as here for the psalmist was the case. Maybe you are bound to home now or to bed, and you can't go out and come out, and you are longing for that corporate worship of God, to join the multitudes, as it were, to come back together. But this remembering of past good times is also true on a personal level. Maybe you know it in your Bible reading. How I long to see more of God's glory when I read the Bible. That I rejoice more in Him. Then I see more of the beauty of Jesus and of the gospel and of glory to come. And yet so often my heart feels so cold and so hard and so dry. And then I pray that God will open my eyes to see, show more of it, and just doesn't seem to have any effect. As if it just goes up into nowhere. And then there are times that my prayers feel so formal, and that it's so difficult to escape the feeling that I'm just sort of going through the motions and doing it out of duty, but that's not out of love, and I want that. And so that gives me even more guilt as I feel my failure and my shortcomings and the lack of enjoying God. And then, so you might cry out then with this psalmist, "Where are you, God? I want you to be near. I want you to be close to me. I long for you. I thirst for you, God. Draw near to me, please, Father." And there's another reason then why he is longing so strongly. A third cause in verse 7. Look at it. It's affliction. It is hard times, difficulty. "Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me." You see how the picture has changed. In verse 1, that deer was longing for water. And it was the thing that gives life. But now, water is also very dangerous if it's too much. And here it is, the depths and waterfalls, and it is overpowering. And the writer feels as if he is drowning. Can't reach for the bottom. It's the depths. And there's deep water all around. That deep calls to deep, it seems to be about the thundering of the sound of water. Maybe you know it when on a holiday, for example, you've been at a waterfall or at the beach, and just thousands and thousands of liters of water every second pouring down and crashing on the rocks beneath. And you just know that is deadly. If I fall down there, or if you're at the beach and the waves come crashing at the rocks or at the cliffs, and you think, if I go down there, that is just dreadful and so dangerous. You don't want to be there. You don't want to swim there. But that's how God's hand felt for the psalmist. As if the waves just crashing over him again and again. And the waterfalls just thundering on him. He says, "It is your waterfalls, your waves swept over me." Jonah expressed the very same thing when he prayed from the belly of the fish. He said something about what it was like being thrown overboard. In Jonah 2 verse 3, he says, "For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me." Now, some of us are going through very difficult times at the moment. Illness or uncertainty when you're waiting for tests and the medical people have not yet figured out what's actually going wrong with you. Or loved ones who have passed away recently and there's grief in the family. Or there are struggles and tensions in your family situation and difficult relationships. Or there are anxious times when you're going back to school or uni. You don't know whether you'll make friends there, or what it will be like living there on your own at uni. Or you've lost your job and you just don't know how it will look like in the future, how you can provide for your family, for your daily bread. Or you're hurt by the words and actions of people around you. And yet then in all of this, you also know it is true that these are your waterfalls and your waves. And that it is in God's hands and you want to trust that. But that makes you cry out in your heart, where, oh God, are you? Where are you, God? With verse 9, you want to say, I say to the God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? So with all these causes, who doesn't feel this longing for God then? One time or another. There are so many causes for it. That brings us though to a second thing, a condition. Because at this point there's a very important thing we must realize. And this psalm is crystal clear. This is not a song of hopelessness, of someone who has given up. Because you might, with the things that are going on in your life, you might be tempted to despair now and you remember that again. But that's not where the psalmist wants you to be. We should not stop here and just throw our arms in the air and think, well, this is all pointless, right? And just give up. And be tempted to agree with those opponents who say, where is your God? And that we indeed start to doubt that and to just stay in that position. Because it is very clear, this psalm is the heart cry of a believer, of a child of God, of a Christian. And I call this second point the condition, because if you have never felt this heart cry of such longing and thirsting for God, and that's actually a dangerous sign. If you read this psalm and you think, I just don't have a clue what he's speaking about. I don't know that longing. Why would I need God that way? Then search your heart. Have you truly believed in Jesus? Have you come to know and believe the good news that even though you are a sinner before a holy God, holy, 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 as we sang, that Jesus has come to rescue you? And have you truly understood how you cannot save yourself? But that only because of Jesus you can be a child of God. It's what Peter wrote. We read it at the start of the service. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Is that what is going on in your heart? Because dead hearts haven't been born again, as Peter said there. He prays for the new birth because of Jesus. But dead hearts that haven't been born again, they don't long for God. And blind eyes that haven't been opened to see the beauty and the glory of Jesus, they don't know him. They don't love him. And so, in a very strange way then, if you do know this painful longing for God, that is actually a good sign. And so I was debating whether to name this second point comfort. Because actually, in that weird way, it is also a comfort. Because if you know this longing, painful as it is actually a good sign that God has been at work in your heart. And he has created a desire and that longing for him. We wouldn't feel this way at all if God had not worked in our lives. If he hadn't opened our hearts, if he hadn't given us faith to call him as Thomas said, as we saw last Sunday night, my Lord and my God. So can you say then with the psalmist, do you believe it? Do you long to experience more deeply, as verse 2 says it, God is the living God. And with verse 5, that he is my Savior and my God. And with verse 9, that he is my rock, a steadfast, certain, unchanging place where we can stand on. In the midst of all those waterfalls and waves, it's a sure place to stand on. And with verse 8, do you indeed believe and rejoice in the fact that by day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. That love there is God's steadfast and faithful covenant love. It is, comes from the Lord with all capitals, the covenant name, Yahweh, the covenant God, who is faithful, and his promises are sure, and he cares, and he saves, and he loves. And so even at night when I lie awake, I can indeed sing for him. And I can pray to the God of my life. As we sang, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer, greatest treasure of my longing soul, strong defender of my weary heart, gracious savior of my ruined life. Because God has so abundantly shown his love, and he has directed it to us, as verse 8 says, in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus himself, he knew this longing for God so well. That cry of verse 9, why have you forgotten me? He knew it. He cried out on the cross, remember, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he did that so that we as God's children would never be forsaken again. And Jesus indeed himself suffered that mortal agony in his bones that verse 10 speaks of. When his foes taunted him, where is your God? Matthew describes in Matthew 27, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him when Jesus was at the cross. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I'm the Son of God. And in the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Jesus was mocked that way. And he bore that pain. And he bore this all for you and for me. In him we have a Savior. So we can sing indeed with verse 5 and verse 11, that refrain of the psalm. I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. We can sing that about Jesus. He is my Savior, my God. Is he that for you too? Can you say that? Can you sing that? In him we have the greatest hope. Jesus can truly quench our thirst, our longing for God. He said, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. And then when verse 2 asks, when can I go and meet with God? Jesus again is the answer. In him we see the Father. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Daily, because of Jesus, we can meet with God. Daily in prayer, as the Father is pleased to hear us praying in Jesus' name. And in his word, through his Spirit, the Holy Spirit who has poured out by the risen Jesus, we can meet with God. And after we die then, because of Jesus, we will see God face to face. And we'll stand before his throne without fear, in perfect peace, all because of Jesus. And therefore then, the necessary condition of this heartfelt longing for God is that we actually know him. And that we have come to be his children through Jesus, but believing in Jesus, that he is our God. And if that is true, then if that condition is met, then indeed, my dear brothers and sisters, we have the greatest comfort that there is. Then we can, with great hope and not in despair, sing this psalm and cry out to God, God, where are you? Longing for him. After all, this is common for the Christian. The Bible tells us clearly that becoming a Christian doesn't mean just a smooth sailing into heaven. Health, wealth, pleasure in the here and now. Like our Savior Jesus himself, our path most of the time is suffering before glory. And there are many causes then that can make us feel as if God is far away. But on that road, we can, by God's grace, walk that in faith. Peter said it, so that the genuineness of your faith is proven, resulting in praise and glory and honor for God. And now you might be thinking, yes, indeed, I do believe that. I do know that, and I want to trust that. But we've heard those causes, right, of that longing, and I'm right in the middle of that. That is where I am now, in that suffering, or facing that mockery. So what do I do? What is the cure for this longing? Because I don't want to feel God far away, I want him to be near. And that's then the final thing to look at, the cure. And that is to call ourselves to hope in and praise God. Because the key answer here is found in the refrain of the psalm, in verse 5 and verse 11. And that's also repeated, by the way, in Psalm 43 and verse 5, a psalm that is closely linked to Psalm 42. And there he says, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed in me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." And Lloyd-Jones summarized this so clearly, and he puts it best. He says, we must stop listening to ourselves and start talking to ourselves. And what he meant is this. If we listen to our emotions, then we won't find any stable place. Our emotions go up and down, and they are fluctuating all the time. So we must start with what we know about God. And we must then talk, we must preach to ourselves about these truths. We must talk about God, who never changes, who is the stable rock. Because we all know this, right? Our emotions are changing, and our feelings, they go up and down all the time. Maybe I had a bad night, and so you wake up moody. But then my breakfast was great, and I start to feel better. And then I hear my favorite song, and I feel great. But then I walk out of the kitchen, and I bump my little toe, and my mood is down again. And then I got angry at my kid, and I feel guilty about it. And then I missed an appointment and forgot my key card to get into the office. And then your mood is all the way down. So you eat a bit of chocolate, and your mood goes up again. And you feel great. And then a phone call comes with bad news, and you feel terrible again. Our emotions, they could just go up and down and up and down. Isn't our spiritual life, our walk with God, not almost just as fluctuating, as unsteady? Maybe not on that minute-by-minute basis as our emotions do, but surely it is. It's just like a roller coaster ride. Sometimes we feel as if we go over the top of a hill and you're lifted out of your seat and you're just as if you're carried along by the Holy Spirit and God is so near and everything feels great. But then the valley comes and you're pressed down and you just don't know what to do. And God's presence seems gone and our time in the Bible feels dry and cold and our hearts just don't seem to get excited by the glory of God and Jesus and salvation. And then feel guilty about not feeling better. The psalm actually has that movement in it because of that refrain. In the refrain, he calls himself to go up, to go back to God. And then it goes down again. So look at it, verse 1 to 4. He describes that longing. And then the refrain comes, calling himself back to God. But then in verse 6, my soul is downcast within me. And he deep calls to deep and he goes back down again. But then the refrain comes in verse 11. And he cries out to God again, put your hope in God, my soul. I want you, God. And into Psalm 43, it continues actually. In verse 1 to 4 there, it goes down again. But again, it ends with that hill, with that crescendo of the refrain. Spurgeon, he used the same principle on a related emotion, our love for God. He also spoke about stop looking at ourselves and then listen to our own feelings, but that we should look to God. He said this, I know some of you are greatly distressed because you cannot love God, love Christ as much as you would like to do. And you keep on fretting because it is so. Now just forget your own love to him and think of his great love to you. And then immediately your love will come to something more like that which you desire it to be. And as others have said, for every look at yourself, take 100 or 1,000 looks at Christ. And it's the same with our assurance of salvation. If we look at our faith, if we look in, we are not looking any longer at Christ himself. And we only see the unsteady pattern of our faith. And we start doubting. So the solution is to look out of ourselves, to look away, to look to Christ, to look to God, to his promises in his word. And so we shouldn't, as verse 4 does, just keep on going on in that nostalgia, looking back to those past times of blessings. But we should do what he does in verse 6. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you. I will remember you. So talk to yourself and question your feelings as that refrain does. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Have you got any reason to do that? Because the most important thing, after all, is sure and steady. The eternal and holy God, the creator of the whole universe, he loves me. Why are you cast down? Talk to yourself. Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. Psalm 147, verse 11, it says, "The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love." That love that verse 8 so powerfully speaks of. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. The brothers and sisters, God himself says this in his word. If we put our hope in him, in his unfailing love, the love that he has directed to us so clearly in the Lord Jesus, then he delights in us. So whatever you go through now, imagine that Jesus is here right next to you. And that he says to you, "I delight in you. I love you. I care for you." This promise in the Bible is just as sure. This is the promise from God himself. It is just as certain as if the living Jesus would stand next to you and say that to you. God delights in you. He loves you. Isn't that the most beautiful answer you can get to this longing? To hear you are loved, to hear you're delighted in. So talk to yourself. Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And of course, that takes effort to not listen to my own emotions, to call myself to look away to God, to put my hope in him, to praise him for his love and his kindness and faithfulness. In that sense, it is like a relationship that you might have with anyone around you, really. Maybe you had a close friend, and then one of you moves away to a different place. And you indeed feel far away from each other. You feel separated, and it might be difficult. But if you stay and look at your emotions and just sit down and gloomily wait till things get better and you feel the friendship being stronger again, no, instead we should take action. So you pick up the phone or the pen and you remember that all your friend is for you. You take action to talk to them again, to renew the relationship. But it takes effort. It requires purposeful action. And so it is with God then. He will never let his children go. But we might feel the opposite. Call yourself back to reality. Stop listening to yourself and start talking to yourself. Pick up his word again. Read his promises. Think about them. These are true for you and me. So in conclusion then, when God feels far away, call yourself to put your hope in him. Because God is the unchanging, stable rock. He is the God of love who saved you. Believe that. Turn back to him. I need to stop listening to my own emotions that just go up and down. And in every situation when God feels so far away, that you just want to cry out from your heart, as the psalmist says, "Where are you, God?" And we must learn this lesson from this same psalm. To go back to what we know. To go back to what we remember of God. Who he is for us. His love for us in the Lord Jesus. Talk to myself. Put your hope in God. Sing a song to praise him. For all he has done. For all who he is. Pray to the God of my life. Asking him for his comfort and help. As verse 8 says. Now I want to close with the words of the Apostle Paul. In Romans 5, let's turn there. Romans 5, he talks about this hope, putting your hope in God, how our hope leads to that praise, and that we remember all that he has done for us. Romans 5, starting at verse 1. That's page 795 in the Blue Bibles. Therefore, he says, therefore, since we have been justified, made right, put right before God, through faith, we have peace with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Amen.